just wait for a minute until I get the machine to work this thing with, and I'll be with you in 2 seconds. You press F5, isn't it? Okay, now we're going to read just a verse from the scripture together, please. Thanks for coming along this afternoon, and we look to God for his help, and we hope that God will bless you for being here this afternoon. We're going to read just a short verse from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. The question we have in our minds this afternoon is, the Gospel of the Bible, what is it? What's it all about? The Gospel of the Bible. Well, of course, we're going to just listen to what the Lord Jesus had to say in verse 15 of chapter 1 of Mark's Gospel. And there'll be other verses which will come up on the screen as we're going along in relation to this great subject. But here's what the Lord Jesus had to say. Verse 15 says, "And saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Repent ye and believe the gospel. So there's a verse from the scripture. There's something that tells us a little bit about what God means when he speaks about the gospel. What the Lord Jesus meant when he speaks about the gospel. Well, of course, we need to ask a few questions, I suppose. Some things we need to know. Well, we need to know what the gospel is. We need to know who is it for. What is the point of the gospel for each one of us? Why do I need the gospel? It becomes a personal thing. We need to ask the question, what about me in all of this? And we need to also find out, well, you know, is there some other way to God? You know, you folks who meet here, you might ask, or might say, you folks who meet here in the gospel hall, well, you seem to preach the gospel, but you know, what about any other way? Is there not another way to deal with this problem that we have? And why is it so important? You know, you've called the building that you meet in the gospel hall. You preach the message out in the street sometimes. You preach it in the hall every Lord's Day. You tell the same message to the children. You know, you write little leaflets and you hand them out. You're about to go round the street with seed sowers and so on. So why is it so important? And another question might be, well, who is it about, this gospel message? And if there's a decision to be made, do I need to make the decision now? And so let's have a wee think about these particular questions. Now, maybe they'll come up in a different order. I'm not just exactly sure whether they'll come up in a different order, knowing my ability with this machine, but we'll do our very best. But the first question is, well, what is the gospel? Well, it's a thing we have to hear. It's something, it's a message we have to hear. The question at the bottom is, have you heard? Well, the gospel, the word just means it's good news. Good news. But what kind of good news? Well, the answer to that question is this. It's good news of free salvation. That's the simplicity of the gospel. And there's a verse that's often quoted, and it's called, in some circles, it's called the gospel in a nutshell. And it's found in John's Gospel in chapter 3 and verse 16. And it tells us really the gospel in a very short space. It tells us the reality of the gospel very quickly. It says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And in that little verse, the whole of the gospel really comes out. If we were to break it up into little pieces, we would find out about a God who loves the world. Now, you might say, well, is the world a circular thing made of rock and soil and trees? And so, not that world, really. The people who stay in the world. The Bible calls the people who stay on this planet the world. For God so loved the people that stay on this planet. Now you might ask yourself, why would God ever love me? Well, that's a good question to ask, you know. It's a good question to come to in our lives. Why should God ever love me at all? Oh, you say, well, my parents have got reason to love me. And maybe you think that there's good reason. There's loads of things in me that my parents could love. Need to ask you a question. Is there anything in you that God could love? It says there, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That tells us, that demonstrates to us the depth of God's love. The way that it has been shown to us in the world. God's love is so vast that he gave up his only son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believes in him. That seems quite simple, doesn't it? Put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. That's what it's saying, that's what it's speaking to us about. It's asking us to believe the message of the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it uses little words there, should not perish. Why would you and I perish? Why would it be that you and I should perish? Really, that means being banished into everlasting darkness without God, perishing in our sin. And it's because of sin. And we'll be thinking about a little bit about that. But the alternative, God's great alternative, but have everlasting life. So the opportunity for to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that God might give us the alternative to damnation, might give us the alternative to perishing without him, in the gospel. What a message. Who is the gospel for? Well, we already thought about that in John chapter 3 and 16. The gospel is for everyone, the world. There's no one left out. And you'll notice that the Lord Jesus said that to his disciples long ago. He used that term again. He says to his disciples, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go into parts of the world. No. I want you to go into the bits of the world that will listen. No. I want you to just to go to places where it's easy. No. The Bible says this. And the Lord Jesus said this. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel. That's called the Great Commission of our Lord Jesus. Speaking to individuals. Speaking to his disciples. He wanted the world to hear. God wants everyone to hear the message of the gospel. There's no one outside of that message of the gospel. So it's for you. That's the important thing. When the Bible uses the word all, we can put ourselves into that. We can say, well, it's me. It says the scripture, all have sinned, and we're thinking about that. But go ye into all the world. So come to me. God wants to come to you with the gospel. You as an individual. You as a separate person. Not one of your family. Not as a member of your family necessarily. Not as a member of your school class. Not as a member of your work situation. He wants to come to you as an individual. Why do I need the gospel? Why is it? Well, you see, the Bible tells us, and we've thought about that verse already, and it says this, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. There's not someone in the meeting today who can say, well, that's not me. You see, God is very direct with his statements of scripture towards us. God is very direct to you. And he's speaking to you today, and he's saying, you have sinned. That's what the word all means, remember. Go ye into all the world, that means me. And when it says all have sinned, it means that means me too. And so we can say with that, we can knock the first couple of verses, a couple of words off that verse and say, I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner in the sight of a holy God. And you know, that's a statement that's been made not only to the people of this day and generation, but it's a statement that's been made to every generation. It was even made to the people of God hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus ever came into the world. And here's what he says. Here's the kind of nature you have. It's a nature which is sinful. And he says, you've all gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. We have turned everyone to his own way. Now, if I was to ask you, well, what is your way? It's likely you'd be able to tell me. Because every one of us is faced with that in our day. From a very young age, I can remember as a very young lad, really understanding the difference between God's way and my way. I understood it fully. I understood that God's way meant a change in me. God's way meant a change of direction for me in my life. And God spoke to his people all these years ago with this very same message as he speaks to us today. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. His own way. And if we were to go round the hall today and ask you, now I'm not going to do this, but if I was to go round and ask you, what's your way? I would probably find there's a different way for every single one of us that are in here. As far as our own way is concerned, and we all like our own way. But it's not our own way that we need to find, it's God's way we need to find. We need to find the way that God has set out for us. We need to understand this fully, that I'm a sinner before a holy God. It says the scripture of God that he is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. God can't even look on sin. That's how holy God is in heaven. Absolutely pure and absolutely holy. And we have offended him. We have offended him by our lives, by who we are, by being born into the human race. What about another way? What about another way for salvation? You know, one thing we have to understand in life is this, that much as we might like to search for some other way of God's salvation, much as we would like to search for some other way of getting to heaven, there is only one way. There is only one way. God has only one plan of salvation, and he has never changed that plan. Now let me just repeat that to you now. God has only one way of salvation, and he has never changed the plan. In fact, the Bible would tell us that before there was ever a world, God had a plan for salvation. And so we can't look back into history and we can't say, well, there's a point where God changed his plan. And he's thinking differently now than he thought before. That's never been the case. God has only ever had one way of salvation. And God needs us to come to him. God needs us to accept that the Lord Jesus Christ and his death at Calvary is the only way for men to get saved, and women, and boys and girls. Anyone. It's the word all. There's only one way, and it's through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came to Calvary's cross for a purpose. You know, it's good to think about these things at certain times of the year. It's not that long ago that we were thinking at Easter time, we were thinking about the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And sometimes we pack that up into some little box and we say, well, that's that part of the year past. We don't need to think about that again. I need to think about that today. I need to think about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Because the Lord Jesus Christ died there so that you might be forgiven. That you might be able to be washed clean from your sin. That's the purpose of it all. The purpose of God's salvation. You see, we find out from Scripture quite a number of things about God. It says in the Scripture in the Old Testament, it says, I am the Lord, I change not. And in the New Testament, we hear about the Lord Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. The plan of salvation is not going to change. It doesn't matter how long you wait or how often you look at it. You know, I used to read through the Bible when I was a boy, not that I understood it, but I used to look through the Bible to see if I could find God out. I used to check it out and see if I could find some way of getting round about what God's word said. I used to try and find another way of salvation because I didn't like God's way, you see. But I need to tell you this afternoon, there's no other way. There's no other way of salvation. Why is it so important? Well, it's important because God has no other message for the people of the world. It's important because it's God's way of salvation. It's important because I'm a sinner and I need salvation. It's important because the God of heaven has said it, and that's the way of it. You see, we seem to have got ourselves into this world in this sort of idea that it really doesn't matter what God says. But you know, we have to understand this. It's so important what God says. It's more important than anything else what God says. And God has no other message. And notice what God says this in 1 Timothy chapter 2. There is one God. Now you'll find different messages about that in the world. But here's what the Bible says. There is one God, and there's only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus himself. One, you notice it? There is one God and one mediator. No other message. No other way of salvation. And here's what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it's important, he said. It's the power of God to salvation. To everyone that believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek or to the Gentile. That's us. It's important because it's God's power in salvation. It's the message that God is bringing. It's the message that God wanted you to find out about. It's the message that the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, go and tell the world about it. It's the most important message you'll ever hear. Now, I know as a wee boy, I used to watch cowboy films. Now, it's not just when I was a wee boy, occasionally, still yet. There used to be one cowboy film, it was called this, The Greatest Story Ever Told, How the West Was Won. It went on for ages. You know this? When I was a wee boy, I thought that was the greatest story ever told. Then I realised that there was another story, and it was a far greater story. And it was the story of how the Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven and went to Calvary that he might save me from my sin. You notice what we were singing? I can't remember the exact words, but what we're singing is this: if I'd been the only sinner in the world, the Lord Jesus Christ would still have come. He would still have needed to come in order to redeem my never dying soul. The greatest story ever told, the story of the cross of Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it used by God in power. And round about the world today, there are men and women who are turning to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. I was just hearing about the Muslim world just the other day. And there was a man pointed to a map in the Muslim world, and he said, in that country, where Islam has got absolute power, there are hundreds of thousands of people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. In that country, and he pointed to another country, there are thousands of people coming to the Lord Jesus. In another country, there are hundreds of people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. The message of the gospel. The message of the gospel. It's powerful. It's powerful. Here's how one man came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his saviour. He went out into the forest because he knew there were a group of Christians meeting there. And he took a number of his friends with him. And they were going to shoot them all. They were going to massacre the whole lot of them. And when he got to where they were, they crept up on them. And they had their automatic weapons charged and ready to go. And they went to pull the trigger, and not one of the rifles would work. Not one single one of their rifles would work. And as they thought about it, and as they were working on it to try and get their guns to work, around about the people there became a wall of fire, protecting the people of God. And one of these men said, that's what brought me to Christ. That's far more powerful than any other message. When God spoke to me in a forest in Iran, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Who's the gospel about then? The gospel, well, the gospel's about my need and God's answer. The gospel's about two people. The gospel's about you, and the gospel's about the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel's about my need. What about your need? The gospel is about the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And what about decision-making time? You see, the gospel requires from us a decision. I don't know if you'd grasped that wee bit or not. But the gospel requires a decision. You have to say, I accept it or I reject it. And really, in a sense, this afternoon, if God is speaking to you, the gospel requires a decision now. You see, leaving this decision could be the most dangerous thing you've ever done. Your ability to take this choice might be taken from you. And second thing is this, the Lord Jesus is coming to the sky for his people. And only those folks who have positively responded to the gospel by accepting it will leave this scene of time with him. That's why it's so important as a message, but that's also why it's so important that we make the decision. Here's what the scripture says, Proverbs chapter 27. Don't boast about tomorrow, because you don't know what a day is going to bring forth. There's a woman that I used to work beside. And she went home one night from her work. And the following morning, we got a call to the college to say this. She'd passed out of time. She'd passed away. Now, she was only in her mid-40s. And she was gone. our ability to make the choice can be taken from us. Boast not about tomorrow. You see, it's in each one of us. And I need to tell you this afternoon, it's a lie from the devil when he says to you, just leave it. Leave it till tomorrow. You can make this decision later on. You don't have to do this just now. That's not what God says. Boast not about tomorrow, for you don't know what tomorrow holds, in a sense. Also, this is what the Lord Jesus said. When Jesus comes, he's going to come as a thief in the night. I don't know if you've ever had your house robbed. I hope that doesn't happen to really anybody. But one thing about thieves is this. They don't knock your door and say, I'm coming in to steal your stuff. They sneak in. And nobody would ever know they'd been there. Because they do it quietly. And that's the inference that the Bible is giving us in relation to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his church. He's going to come quietly, and the rest of the world really won't know. And those of his people will disappear out of this world, never to be seen again, because we'll be with him. What about it? What about the decision? The decision for Christ has to be taken. Make sure you take it the right way. Make sure you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Now, this morning I was just thinking about this, and I wanted to put the last slide in, and I didn't really think about this verse, and I just wanted to put the end in. You know, we've come to the end, just so that I knew when we came to the end. But you know, the Bible talks about the end. And it mentions the gospel in relation to the end. And here's what it said. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Shall we pray?